I don't think firemen will ever be happy striking and refusing to put out fires in order to get more money. I don't think nurses will ever be happy refusing to wait on patients who are sick and dying just to get more money. Nothing has changed our nation quite as much as the dollar. Just pick up your newspaper any day you want to. And a different vocation is saying, we want more money. Truck drivers, school teachers, government workers, hospital workers, steel mills workers, steel workers, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, everybody. More money, boys. More money. More money. We want more money. We want more money. Nobody has ever gotten happy with money. Amen. Nobody. Nobody. Money can buy everything but happiness and take you everywhere but heaven. Money can buy you a new car, but you'll be a miserable driver. Some of you are already miserable drivers. Especially the one-arm ones around here. Money can buy you new clothes and make you restless while in them. Money can buy you a new house and make you lay awake at nights sleepless in it. Money can pad your bank account and also pad your covetousness for more money. Nothing that is God's is obtainable by money. Do you get that? Nothing that is God's is attainable by money. All nations have their proverbs about money. The Russians have a proverb that says, where money speaks, the truth is silent. The Spaniards have one that says, money turns bad into good. The Germans have one that says, mention money, and the world is silent. The Dutch say, money rules the world. The Chinese say, a man without money might as well be buried in a rice tub. But none is so scriptural as the old American statement, money talks. Money talks. Now, what does money say? Money does talk. What does it say? In the first place, money speaks to tell us of our character. Money talks to tell us of character. Habakkuk 2:11 says, woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. 1 Timothy 3:3 and Titus 1:11 speaks about filthy lucre. Money talks. First thing money talks about your character. For example, it tells how honest you are. Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. What does that mean? That means woe to the fellow who makes money by running an adult bookstore and selling dirty magazines and peep shows and topless shine girls. That's crooked money. And there's a woe and a judgment of God upon that kind of paganism. Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. What does that mean? It means woe to the one who makes money selling liquor. And stupid is the one who buys it.
Amen.
Woe are these little tavern keepers over here on State Line. I was driving down the street the other night, State Line Street, just one right after the other. One right after the other. Woe to the person who makes his living selling liquor and putting the bottle to his neighbor's mouth.
Amen.
He's making money. That's filthy lucre. Evil gain for his house. What does it mean? Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. It means woe is the waitress who serves the stuff. Occasionally some young lady will come to me and say to the house, I want to be an airline stewardess. I don't want you to be. I don't want you to be. I don't want you to be a flying bartender.
Amen.
There's a woe. By the way, that includes you men that run grocery stores that serve liquor in your grocery stores too.
Amen.
There's a woe on you. There's a judgment on you. Well, you say, I can't make a living. Then starve to death and be honest.
Amen.
What does it mean? Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. It means the waitress who serves it. It means the man who serves it, who sells it in a grocery store or a drug store. What does it mean? Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. It means woe to the publishers of filth. It means woe to the publishers of Playboy magazine. Make money off the lust of men and stirring the evil passions of society. There's a woe on that kind of person. What does it mean? Woe to him that getteth evil gain for his house. It means there's a woe placed upon people that make money by selling rotten literature. You folks that have places of business and you sell dirty Penthouse and Playboy magazines and these little magazines, Confidential, that tell lewd stories and have lewd pictures. I'm simply saying that God's woe is upon you, and God's wrath is upon you, and God's judgment is poured out upon you because you make evil gain. Filthy lucre. What? Making money. Trying to cause lives to be wrecked and ruined and futures and air castles to be destroyed and broken. What does it mean? Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. It means woe to the owner of the Calumet Theater down here.
Amen.
And the lady who sells the tickets. And the ushers who take you to your seats. And the fellow who runs the projector up in the projector room. And the fellow who sells the popcorn for folks to enjoy while they watch these dirty movies. What? Well, we've got to make a living. Woe to the fellow who drives a liquor truck. Woe to the fellow who makes evil gain for his house. What does it mean? It means woe to the one who raises tobacco and makes a living raising tobacco. I was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, preaching, and everybody down there makes a living just about either raising tobacco or working in Mr. Winston's Winston place, you know. Winston tastes good, like a cigarette should. Also causes cancer, like a cigarette does too. And I preached the first night just in passing. I said a few words about cigarettes. I normally do, and any kind of cancer causers and so forth. So several people said, "You're in Winston-Salem," and said, "We just don't do that in Winston-Salem." Well, we did for four other sermons. You see, if I'm going to preach against cigarettes in Hammond, I'm going to preach against it in Durham, North Carolina. If I'm going to preach against beer in Hammond, I'm going to preach against it in Milwaukee.
Amen.
Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. What does it mean? It means woe to him that sells tobacco. Or works in the factory. What does it mean? Woe to the TV station that spreads filth. God's wrath and God's judgment is on Channel 11 for the filthy, sexy program that they showed last week. Read the write-up about that dirty thing. And God's woe is on you folks, that watch the filth too. You say, won't you quit preaching or quit meddling and go to preaching? Brother, preaching that doesn't meddle is not preaching. It's not preaching. Meddling or non-meddling preaching is no preaching at all.
Amen.
So you're going to make somebody mad. If God don't quit me, I am. And I'd hate not to. There's a woe. Woe to him that getteth evil gain for his house. What does it mean? It means a preacher who trims his message to get it, so he'll get his salary and won't get fired, is wicked, and the wrath of God's upon him, and there's a woe on him. Preacher's afraid of the rich members. Or for that matter, a collection of poor ones. There's a woe on him. What does it mean? Filthy lucre. It means woe to the Christian who uses God's tithe for himself. Hey, we got down to you, didn't we? Yeah. Yeah. Woe to the Christian who takes God's money. I mean the tithe. I mean the 10%. And doesn't give it to God and use it for himself. That's filthy lucre. Woe to that robber. Woe to that thief. Woe to that crook. You say, hold it, preacher. You're calling me a crook. No, I didn't. God calls you a crook, and I'm just taking a message to you. That's all. God said, you're a robber. You've robbed God. And robbing is crooked. Robbing is dishonest. And there's a woe, there's a wrath on every person in this house who gives God less than one dime out of every dollar you make. The tithe is the Lord's, echoes through the Bible all the way through. Filthy lucre. Woe to him that getteth an evil gain for his house. What does it mean? It means the nurse who strikes and lets patients go unattended for a dollar. That's filthy lucre. It means a policeman who strikes and lets a town go unprotected for a dollar. That's filthy lucre. It means the fireman who strikes and lets the city go unprotected for a dollar. That's filthy lucre. We say, I've got a right to money just like everybody else has. I know it. And you'll be miserable just like everybody else is, too. You know who the happy folks are? Happy folks are folks who found the will of God for their lives and who take pride in what they do and not concerned about how much they make. What is filthy lucre? I don't know what it is in just plain language. Filthy lucre is money made outside the will of God. Filthy lucre is money made in any business that you're in if it's not in the will of God for your life. Filthy lucre is money made in Miami if you're supposed to be in Minneapolis. Filthy lucre is money made in Jerusalem if you're supposed to live in Los Angeles. Filthy lucre, hey, couple over here, listen while I'm preaching. Filthy lucre is any money made outside the will of God. Listen to me. Do you know you have no right to choose a profession because of the salary? No right in this world. None whatsoever. We've got, even in Christian circles, a wicked kind of a philosophy that says that it's okay to make money as long as you make it in an honorable profession, and that is okay if it's the will of God for your life. Otherwise, you have no right. You have no right to choose. Say, well, I'm going to be a doctor because there's a lot of money there. If you want to be a doctor so you can help people who are sick and try to keep folks well and serve mankind, that's okay. If you're going to be a doctor to make money, then you're crooked, filthy lucre. I don't know whether Dr. Streeter's here tonight or not, but I thank God for Dennis Streeter. I know what he made last year. I won't tell you, but I know what it was. That young man with his degree from medical school, a thriving young surgeon, goes out here to Hiles Anderson College on Thursday night, and for a few paltry pennies, he works out there from 7 or 8 o'clock at night till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, trying to help the Hiles Anderson College students. And what he charges doesn't even cover his expenses. And I know the offers, he said. I know he is the brightest, or was the brightest, graduate in his class. He was the top graduate, what do you call it? valedictorian. I don't know if they call that medical school or not, but he was number one in the graduating class, all kinds of offers to make money. I'm simply saying he has decided to be a doctor to help mankind because that's the will of God for his life, and any other reason is filthy lucre.
Amen.
It's filthy lucre. So I'm going to be a lawyer because that's where the money is. I'm going to be a businessman. That's where the money is. I say again, if you're in a business to make money and not to serve mankind, you have no right to be in that business. You have no right to choose that profession. You have no right in this world to do anything outside the will of God for your life. None. Money talks. What does it say? It tells your character. Money talks. What else? It talks about salvation. Money tells whether you're saved or not. Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verse 8, after he got saved, he said, if I have wronged any man, taken any money wrongly, I will restore him fourfold. Well, that's something for a tax collector. I mean, the record for tax collectors is onefold. Fourfold, he said. Why? He'd been born again. Listen. When a person's born again, his entire outlook toward money ought to change. Money talks. I go out to our school, college, Hiles Anderson College. I look at the students when I speak on chapel and realize those students, many of them, absolutely living on a shoestring. And that's a broken shoestring. Boys on the front, sit up and listen to me. Hey, sit up. Sit up, son. That's it. Listen to me. You fellows have talked enough tonight. And I look at those students out there and realize that they are spending 4 years of life training and training and training and working and training so they can be poor the rest of their life. That's it. Why? I'll tell you why. They found something that's greater riches than all of Fort Knox, Kentucky, and all the banks in America. Nothing as overrated as money. Nothing as exaggerated as money. Listen. The people that have it usually turn out spoiled kids, miserable, wretched lives. Money talks about salvation. I recall, and many of you have heard this story. I was in Texas one day. A barber got saved. Great big fellow. Older man, but a distinguished looking man. Owned a barber shop. Had several chairs in his shop. He got saved one Sunday. I didn't see him for 2 or 3 weeks. Several weeks later, we had a men's gathering. We called it Brotherhood Meeting one night. There he was. Mr. Herring was there. He asked if he could speak a few words. He stood up to speak. And he said, folks, I want to tell you something. I got saved 2 weeks ago. I've been on vacation ever since. He said, I got saved on Sunday. On Monday, I went to Brownwood, Texas. He said about 28 to 30 years ago, our oldest son was born in a hospital in Brownwood, Texas. He said, I never paid the doctor bill or the hospital bill. He said, I got saved Sunday. I went to Brownwood, Texas, 150 miles. He said, I paid the hospital bill for my oldest son. 28 years ago. Then he said, I tried to find the doctor. And looked and looked and looked. I found the doctor or some of his heirs. And I found the doctor bill as best I could, what I owed the doctor for 28 years. He said, I paid the doctor bill. Then he said, I got in the car and drove several hundred miles to Abilene, Texas. And paid off my second child's hospital bill. And my second child's doctor bill. Listen to me. You students at Hiles Anderson College that don't pay your rent, don't you expect me to recommend you to a church when you graduate? I got a letter this week. Student, 7 months behind on his rent. You'll starve as far as I'm concerned when time comes for you to graduate. Don't you come to me saying, can you recommend me to a church? I'm going to recommend you to a mourner's bench. Money talks. Don't you recall 1 John 4:17? But whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother in need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion against him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? What it says is this: a person who sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion, when he has this world's good and does not share with him and does not help him, he says he is not born again. That's what it says. Person gets born again, there's something happens to him. His attitude toward money changes. Money talks about character. Money talks about salvation. Money talks about where your heart is. Matthew 6:21, where your heart is, where treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. With your mouth you say you love the church, but your pocketbook says you don't. Your heart is not in the church. With your mouth you say you love the souls of men. With your pocketbook you don't. And your heart is not in soul winning. With your mouth you say you love the needy. With your pocketbook you don't. Your heart is not in helping the needy. With your mouth you speak of devotion. Your pocketbook speaks of self. Your money talks about where your heart is. John Wesley said, when I have any money, I get rid of it as quickly as possible, lest it find a way into my heart. John Wesley said, when I have any money, I get rid of it as quickly as possible, lest it find a way into my heart. Ray Smith said, no man is really consecrated till his money is dedicated. Thomas Carlyle said, the deepest depth of vulgarism is that of setting up money as the Ark of the Covenant. Frederick Saunders said, money is the largest slaveholder in the world. And 1 Timothy 6:10 says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Listen to me tonight. That money you've got stored up in a bank for a rainy day, boy, it's going to take a tornado to spend all that money, most of you. Now, we have some businessmen in this church. I have in my pocket tonight a check for $2,500. It was given to me last Sunday night, and not to me personally, but given to the church. Some men in our church are in business together, have a successful business, and God is blessing their business. One reason he is, they promised God that 25% of all of the gross income, I don't mean the profits, I mean all of the gross income, 25% of it, they'd give it to God. That's what Christianity is all about. I mean, that's what it is. I bind you, those fellows are saved. Why? Because they have gotten the proper priorities about money. You say, preacher, wouldn't you like to have $1 million? If I had $1 million today, when the sun set tomorrow, I wouldn't have it. You say, you're lying. Try me. Huh? Just try to see. Now, the honest truth is, I mean that. If I had $1 million today, by sundown tomorrow, I wouldn't have it. You know why? Because I might like it. And I'm 47 years old. I've been happy as a June bug all these years. I wasn't born in a maternity ward. I was born probably on the front porch. I mean, I got relatives that used to feed me. We didn't have any Heinz Gerbers around our house. I got relatives that used to chew up food and then take it out and give it to me. That's why I'm such a healthy specimen. I got knots on my head right here, right now. My head's not shaped like it ought to be shaped. Some of you folks think they're horns, but they're not. Well, you know why? Because my mother couldn't afford any cod liver oil when I was a baby. We didn't even know cods had livers back in those days. poor. Why, well, man, listen. For years, I didn't know. A bathtub? I'll never forget the first time I saw an indoor bathroom. I said, man, that's unsanitary. I grew up with a dipper. Our crystal was a dipper. Oh, unless we could afford some peanut butter.